Let's talk about being healed, okay? All right, and then we are going to have a healing line at the end. So if you need healing, get ready to be healed. Amen? Amen. You know, before we move into today's text, let's go back and review part one. Healing is not something we're trying to get. Healing is something Jesus has already purchased at the cross. Just like salvation, it's already a finished work. Now, we all know in Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." Now, Isaiah, looking ahead to the cross, because that was about 700 years before the cross, said, "We are healed." So we should know that we are healed, not we're going to get healed. A lot of people will say, "Well, I'm believing I'm going to get healed." No, faith is now. Remember Hebrews 11:1, which is not a thing. It says, now faith is. Not faith is going to happen later on. It's now. You take something, it's already been belonged to you. You know, going on to 1 Peter, which is looking back at the cross, actually after the cross, he confirmed the work that was already done. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now, English was my worst subject. I always made a B in English. I know if your worst subject make a B, that's not, you know. English is what kept me from having a 4.0 all throughout my thing, because I think I made an A one time in high school. So it was my worst subject, but I do know the word "were" is past tense. Now, past tense means it's already been done. See, according to the word, you were already healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus took the stripes on his back. Well, you say, "Well, yeah, but I have some weird disease that they don't even know what name it is." Well, Jesus is the name above every name. And every disease that mankind will ever face, he took healing for that 2,000 years ago. You're not so special that you have disease that Jesus' stripes didn't cover. You've been covered. And that was the thing that really bothered me the most during COVID, and I realized that it was a disease and people did die. But people die of cancer, people die of all kinds of things. And the deal is, we shouldn't be afraid of one particular disease. We should know what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Isaiah said, "We are healed." Peter says, "You were healed." So healing is already accomplished. You know, it is interesting. Let's think about this. Anyone like chocolate chip cookies? I know it has nothing to do with the Bible, all right? But, you know, but I was thinking about this the other day because I was trying to find an illustration. And I like chocolate chip cookies, but you know what's the best is homemade chocolate chip cookies. But now, what is the number one ingredient you need to have chocolate chip cookies? Chocolate chips. Have you ever wanted to have homemade chocolate chip cookies and go to your pantry and no chocolate chips? All right, so it doesn't matter if you have all the other ingredients. If you have no chocolate chips, you cannot have chocolate chip cookies, right? So what you have to do is you have to either you or you have to send your kids or somebody else to the store to go get chocolate chips. But it's so much easier just to go to the pantry and pull your chocolate chips out. Well, here's the thing. Your healing is already in your pantry. You don't have to go to the store and find it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything. Because, see, in order for me to go get chocolate chips, that takes effort. I got to get into my car. Okay, I just thought about something. You lazy DoorDash people. Or Instacart or whatever. But you're paying triple for what it would cost you to buy chocolate chips. All right, so, but that's still effort. You got to get out your app and order it, and pay extra money, okay? Because, so, see, I think about everything. I was fixing to ruin my illustration because someone's going to come tell me, well, Craig, I use DoorDash, and they just deliver it to my house. And yeah, you do, and you pay for it. I was actually at Walgreens the other day, and this guy was a DoorDasher, and he goes, man, I don't know why these people pay you like three times the amount, you know, plus give me a tip, but I don't care. I'm making money off of these guys. So anyway, so there, these guys are laughing at you, and so am I. And if you go to my financial management class, I'm going to tell you not to DoorDash. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, you have to make some effort to go get your chocolate chips. It takes effort. I mean, you know, me, I would have to go get in my car, drive to the store. I actually, the closest grocery store to me is Walmart. The bad thing about going to Walmart, there's all kinds of tempting other things that you might want to buy at Walmart. Because Walmart sells everything. All right? You know, so then you got to come back, then you got to go, then you make the chocolate chip. But here's the deal. Healing already belongs to you. You don't got to go do anything to get it. You just receive it by faith. It's just that simple. And, you know, talking about faith, what I always want to mention this, the same faith that heals you is also the same faith that saves you. Because people think, well, I got to have special healing faith. No, you don't. In fact, let's look at, let me say this. It's part of the same package as salvation. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid for sins and sickness at the same time. He took the stripes on his back and then he died upon the cross. You know, the same faith that heals you is the same faith that saves you. Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we receive salvation? By believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. How do we receive healing? The exact same way. By confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. It's the same faith. It's the same way. It's the same thing. You have to say, well, yeah, but Craig, I have a tough disease. See, here's the deal. If you have a cold, it's no big deal. If you have cancer, it is. All right? But Jesus Christ, his stripes healed colds and cancer at the same time. Now, the problem is our mental mind thinks that we have to have super faith for cancer and just a little bit of faith for a cold. But that's not true. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. It's no different. And here's the deal. Your healing is already in your pantry. You don't have to go work for it. Well, you know, brother, if you give enough money, God will meet your need. Now, see, I said that. Someone could cut that out and then say, that's how I don't believe that. I have to make sure. Man, sound bites sometimes screw people up in the world we live in today. You know, you don't have to give money to be healed. In fact, Jesus never talked about giving money to be healed. It wasn't like, hey, you want healing? Oh, you need to give us an offering. Hey, Judas, go get an offering from that guy. He never did that. You know, for some reason, us modern day, not us, I shouldn't put myself, I don't want to put myself in that situation, but some modern day ministers almost act like, well, you got to give in order to get healed. No, you don't. You got to say it with your mouth and believe in your heart and have what you say. It's just that simple. It's the exact same way. So healing is not someday, it's already ours. It's been bought, paid for, and delivered by Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a DoorDash. You already have it through Jesus. Now let's talk about staying steadfast in your faith. You know what? Sometimes, here's the deal. Sometimes people get healed instantly, and sometimes they don't. Why not? I don't know. You realize that happened under Jesus' ministry too? There was a number of times that he prayed for people and he said, well, go show yourself to the priest. And see, we think the priest is like across the street. Well, you know what? What if your priest is, if you're here in Broken Arrow and your priest is at 51st and Harvard, that's a long ways to walk. They didn't have cars. All right. I don't know. See,
sometimes we actually don't realize the Bible, you know, situation, the Bible times, and you know, it was, it might be a long ways. It might have been to an, you know, you realize if you were sick, and of course, maybe you have to read the Old Testament to figure this out, and some of you haven't read the Old Testament, but if you were sick, in order to be declared you healed, you have to go show yourself to your priest, not the priest in whatever city you're in. You had to go back. They might have had to go for days. And there are many people that they didn't look healed, but by the time they got to their priest, they were. Or by the time that they dunked seven times in the Jordan River, they were, or whatever. Because people think, well, no, Jesus, it was always immediate. No, it wasn't. But the deal is sometimes the immediate healing is actually a hindrance to your faith. Because if you don't get it immediately, you're trying to figure out, well, what do I do? How do I do this? I didn't get it immediately. You know, well, the deal is, do you realize maybe whenever you came down and got saved, you got saved immediately, but you're never going to find out for sure until the one day when Jesus Christ comes back and you're caught up in the rapture, or the day you die. That's when you're going to know whether you got it or not. You got to have faith. You realize that that's faith. You know, that's why my grandfather talked about having a know-so experience. You need to know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. So standing steadfast in faith, I like James 1:2. It says this: my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, the deal is, what you need to understand is, even though you're going through a faith battle, you just be happy. You just be full of joy. Not full of mopiness. Just be happy. You know, I always say one of the most Christian songs is, "Don't worry, be happy." Of course, we know that he was reading James chapter 1, verse number 2. That's why he wrote the song. Obviously, I don't know if it's a Christian song or not, but it works. Don't worry, be happy. See, here's the thing. If you're worried, it's hard to be happy. Now, what are you worried about? Well, a lot of times you're worried about the result of your disease. So if you're worried about the result of your disease, you don't believe you're healed. Because if you believe you're healed, you wouldn't worry about the result of your disease. That's why we get worried whenever we get diagnosed with something like cancer. Because we know a number of people have died from cancer. But, you know, it's hard to be happy when you're worried. So what do you need to do? Well, you know, the Bible talks about worry. What does it say? Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So if you're worried about something, give it to him, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. But if you're still worried about it, you really hadn't given it to him, and you really don't believe you're healed. You act like you believe you're healed, but you don't, because if you believe you're healed, you wouldn't worry about it. You wouldn't question it. You know, most of you, or a lot of you, probably went out there and got the t-shirt that said "Living by Faith," and on the back of my grandfather's saying, "The Bible says that I believe, and that settles it." But do you believe what the Bible says? Well, the Bible says you have been healed 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, you were healed. Not you're going to get healed. And here's the deal. You just keep believing. All right? Which brings me to another Christian song, "Don't Stop Believing." Anyway, Paula White's husband actually wrote that song, by the way. Anyway, it goes on to say, so healing sometimes takes standing. And James says, account it all joy in the response of faith. You know, joy says, I know the outcome, I'm healed. Regardless of what it looks like. It goes on in James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So faith doesn't waver. You know, a lot of people, what I say, they have seesaw faith. Anyone remember what a seesaw looks like on a playground? And I don't know if they have them anymore, because they're probably dangerous. And so, you know, but a seesaw, you know, you get on one side, someone gets on the other side, then you go up and you go down, and you go up and you go down, and you go up and you go down. And that's how some people are with their faith. One day they're up, and you know, and it's usually here's what happened. They come to a meeting, they get all excited, they get up, and then they go home, and they're not feeling good. And then they get down, and then they get back up, and then they get back down, and they get back up, and they get back down, and they go. So what does the Bible says about that? The Bible says, well, it says, for let him ask in faith, no doubting, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So there you are. You're standing on James 1, 6 through 8, that you're not going to receive anything from the Lord because you have seesaw faith. Your faith should be steadfast, fast, and doesn't waver. Faith doesn't waver. It doesn't say that one day it says, I believe I'm healed. And the next day saying, well, maybe I'm not. Faith is steady. You know, you have to say I'm healed and drop the mic and, you know, you don't think anything else. It's simply, you know, Brother Hagin used to have he had a saying called, keep the switch of faith turned on. Never turn that switch off. You just keep believing. And you keep believing, and you keep believing. It kind of reminds me of Ephesians 6:13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand evil. And having done all to stand, we stand. Doesn't talk about ever retreating. Doesn't talk about ever thinking anything else. You just stand on the promises of God. You stand on the word. You know what the Bible says. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say to retreat. It doesn't say to give up. It says to stand. When we've done all you know to do, you keep standing until the promises manifest. You just stand. And you just stand. Now, we all know Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, for surely I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I've heard this many times. Brother Hagin, my grandfather, talked about that in this scripture, that it talks about you, the believer, saying three times and only believing one time. Well, what does that mean? Keep saying, keep saying, keep saying. It says, for sure I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, so here you are, you're saying to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, so then you're not doubting, but believes that those things he says will be done, that then it says he will have whatever he says. So what's that mean? Keep saying. Keep speaking, keep speaking, keep saying. When it doesn't look like something's happened, you keep speaking. You keep saying it, you keep saying it. When people tell you it's not going to happen, you keep speaking. You keep saying what the Bible says. You know, faith believes once, but it speaks continually. That's how we stand steadfast, by keeping the word in our mouth. When symptoms linger, we don't stop speaking. When circumstances look unchanged, we keep declaring, by his stripes, I was healed. You know, get David Engel songs. I am healed, I am whole. But, you know, I mean, of course, all his songs that he wrote were all Brother Hagin's teachings. You know, well, and the word, obviously, you know, so, and we stand by believing once, and we speak continually. Now, I always talk about my kidney issues, that, you know, many times I would go to the bathroom and the doctor would tell me to look at my urine. I know it's kind of gross to talk about urine from the platform, but, you know, it's the only example I got. And I could tell by looking at it that there were protein, you know, in my urine, so I could tell my kidneys were not functioning normally. Now, my mind is looking at it and thinking, well, his kidneys aren't doing well, but out of my mouth only came, thank you, Father, my kidneys are normal. I never spoke, quote unquote, reality. I spoke faith every time. And most of the time when I go back to the doctor, and this was like a 2-year period of time, so it didn't happen immediately, but most of the time I went to the doctor, my numbers would always be lower. But there were a couple of times I had a few hiccups and it didn't go lower. So did I get upset? No. What I would say, thank you, Father, that I am healed. And every time we prayed, Doesn't matter whether it's morning devotions before you go to bed at night or whether it's over a meal. We'd always tag on the thing. My mom would, my mom and my parents were the same thing. Thank you, Father. Craig's kidneys are well. Every time. Why? Because you know what? When we have an opportunity to speak to God, we might as well confess it. I don't know how many times. Every time I go to the bathroom and it didn't look good, every time I took some medication that they didn't know whether it would work or not, I would speak life to my kidneys. Now, here's the thing is that I never actually, even though I'm a Googleologist and like to Google stuff, I never actually looked at the result of disease. I had a very rare kidney disease, and if you look at it, it would tell you that by now I should be on dialysis or maybe had lost a kidney or had a kidney transplant because that was the result of the disease. But see, if you don't look at the result of the disease, it's a whole lot easier to stay in faith. Not one time did I ever think that my kidneys would not be well. Because why would they not be well? Well, I know what the Bible says. Now, here's the thing. I had plenty of opportunities to not count it all joy, to not stay steadfast, to not stay standing. I had plenty of opportunities to speak reality and not faith, because in reality, it didn't look like, sometimes my kidneys were normal. But you know what? I call things that are not as though they were. It's what the Bible says. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because, see, I want you to understand that you can do the same thing that I can do. God's no respecter of persons. Now, also, at one point in time, my kidney doctors declared that I was in remission, even though my numbers were higher than normal numbers because they were low enough, but that wasn't good enough to be low enough to be abnormal, but kind of be normal. Even though I'm not really normal, I get it. Craig's kind of peculiar and weird and odd and says things that most people don't. But my kidney's numbers now are normal. As normal as you are, as yours. Well, maybe yours might be more elevated than mine. I don't know. So the point is it took a little bit. But what I do, I was always believing, but I just kept speaking. And I kept speaking. And I kept speaking. But not only did I keep speaking, my family kept speaking as well. Now, here's the thing. Mark 5:36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, the reason I want to point that out is because what happens is it's fear goes against your faith. You have to get fear out, because fear is what's going to cause you to worry. Fear is what's going to cause you to do a lot of things. We shouldn't do things because we're afraid. We should do things because that's what we want to do. People are afraid. Well, the deal is we live in a scary world. Do you realize you could go walk off the curb and get hit by a car? But it doesn't stop you from getting hit by the car. Now, here's the thing is, do you realize I personally know how to save 50,000 lives a year? Personally. You know how we do that? We ban driving cars. 50,000 people in America die every year from car accidents. So if we ban driving cars, we can save 50,000 lives. We'd be late to work every day. We would be better shape because we're either walking or riding a bicycle. But you know what? We're not going to ban cars because it's convenient. But people are going to die. The point is, people die. But you know what? You just got to believe God. It doesn't matter. Well, so-and-so, they had the same disease I did, and they died. Why'd they die? I don't know. I don't know why they died. I wasn't in their skin. I do know that a lot of times when people get something like cancer or whatever, they kind of, remember Paul said, I'm in a strait between two? To die is far better, because knowing that to die is to go to heaven. I know when people are fighting a battle, sometimes they get to the point like, you know what? I'm ready to go to heaven. And sometimes I'm like, well, can you tell your family? Because your family's believing you're going to be healed and you're ready to go to heaven. So you guys aren't even in agreement. You know, I don't know why people die. And the deal is sometimes when we have family members that die, it messes us up. We're thinking, well, healing doesn't work. Well, you know, I always think about what my grandfather says. Don't touch it again in thought life, lest your faith, you know, be shattered. You know, he said, the Lord told him that whenever his sister died. He said, there is reasons. It's not for you to know. It's between me and your sister. Same thing. If you notice, our student housing is the Greg Smith student housing. Greg Smith, he worked for us many years. Then he went to become a pastor, and he died in his sleep. We don't know why. It bothered my grandfather because he was like a son to him. Once again, don't touch it in thought life. So here's the thing. This is what I've always told people. You need to get out your list. If you want to do it on digital, you get out your list, and everything that you want to kind of know, you write it down so that way once you get to heaven, you can ask Jesus or ask the Lord. But I'm kind of thinking that once you get there, you won't even care. And here's the thing. If they're born again, I'm sure they don't care either. Because their life is better than yours. Well, why this? I don't know why it happened. I don't know why your aunt died. I don't know. That doesn't take back the fact that Jesus already took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes you were healed. I don't know why this person died, that person died. You know what? But healing belongs to us. So, my dad's favorite verse, Luke 18:27, says this, but he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Because some people have told me, well, Craig, you can't believe for that because that's impossible. Yeah, that's why I have scripture for it. I have scripture for the impossible. In fact, going back to the keynote scripture, what I read here, Mark 11:23 says to speak to a mountain and the mountain's going to be uprooted and thrown into the sea and cause a new island to exist. That's kind of impossible, isn't it? So Jesus started with an impossible situation to show us that even though it seems impossible to men, it is possible when you put your faith in God. And it's that simple. So I always say, some people say, well, that's impossible. I said, no, duh, Sherlock. That's why we have scripture. You know, it doesn't matter whether it seems impossible, because I'm not looking what it seems like to you. What does the Bible say? Do you realize when Jesus was tempted, the only thing that came out of his mouth was, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. So when the devil is trying to knock on your brain, you got to know what's written. Now, my grandfather said the number one reason why people don't get healed is they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know scriptures to claim. They have no clue. You know, so maybe you need to figure out what the Bible says. Because if you don't know what the Bible says, it's really hard to combat the devil. You don't know the word. Now, obviously, you know, I'm reading you a bunch of scriptures. So anyway, but Jesus says it clearly, don't be afraid. Only believe. Even when the situation looks impossible, God says it is possible. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I've preached it many times about the Super Bowl. I'm not going to go in detail. When it looked like that Tom Brady's team was going to lose at halftime, but the game wasn't over at halftime. You know, the Atlanta Falcons ended up losing to the New England Patriots because somebody didn't quit. Well, the devil's going to end up losing to you if you don't quit. Dad has a saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. As long as you don't quit, you will get through it. I.e., don't stop believing. You keep believing. You keep saying. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter when it seems the score is not in your favor. It looks like, you know, the seconds are ticking off. I don't know how many NBA games I watched in the final seconds. It looked like one team wasn't going to win, and they ended up pulling it out. That wasn't, God probably didn't have anything to do with that. But the point of the matter is, you know, the Bible says we've already won the victory through Jesus Christ. We are victorious. Not we're going to be victorious. But let me talk about something else, because this is something that many Christians, I believe, we miss it. It's called the power of agreement. You know, Matthew 18, 19, and 20 says this, "And again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." You know, faith can be a team sport. You know, you are not alone in this. Agreement multiplies power. Now, you know, the deal is, whenever I was facing my kidney disease, the first thing I did was tell everybody about it all the time. Some people say, "Well, why would you do that? You're a healing preacher." Yes, because I realize that there is power in agreement. I don't know if you looked at the prayer groups. The first prayer group they put up is called the Hagen Family. Man, I want people praying for me. I need it. We all need it. You know, we're weak. Some, you know, people can be strong. You know, sometimes we think that we're in faith because we're battling it alone. Why are you battling something alone when you have people who love you and care about you and want to stand with you and for you in the middle of your battle? Because I see so many Christians, we're afraid to tell somebody because we might look bad. Well, you know what? Faith and fear cannot be in your heart at the same time. So maybe the reason that you didn't make it because you were afraid. The Bible says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." You shouldn't be afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of closed-in spaces. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't like snakes, but I'm not really afraid of them. I mean, Paul got bit by one. Nothing happened. So, you know, Bible's still true. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. I mean, you know, why should we be afraid? The Bible says, "Do not be afraid." It goes on to say this, you know, "And carrying one another's burdens." Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Mark 2:5 says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven and healed.'" So you know, that was whenever they let down the man, the paralytic man, before Jesus. You realize if it wasn't for the four guys who carried that guy to the roof and let him down, he wouldn't be healed. And when Jesus looked up, he said he saw their faith. It was them acting together. I mean, can you at least find four friends and tell them? If you don't want to tell anybody else, find four friends that are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that you get healed. Because sometimes, I mean, especially whenever we're sick, we get weak. And we need someone to talk to us, to build up our faith. You know, because, you know, when the devil's like knocking you over sometimes, I mean, that is one of the reasons that we formed RMAI for us ministers to come together. And whenever we might be a little weak, let's talk to somebody. You know, because of RMAI, you know, there, you might have someone that's close to you that you can actually come together and actually have a prayer meeting together. But you know what? So many people, and you know, it really bothers me, because whenever we hear, we don't hear till it's almost, you know, too late, "Well, brother so-and-so has this, and he didn't tell anybody." In fact, I found out sometimes they don't even talk to their husband or wives about it. They don't want to, "Well, I don't want to speak anything negative." Well, if you don't tell anybody, no one knows how to, no one can believe with you. And, you know, I'm saying this because I want to help people. I know that, I was teaching healing schools after Brother Hagen passed away, teaching healing school, and I told everyone there, a lot of those people were dealing with cancer. I said, "You know what, if I went to the doctor today and they told me that you know, I got diagnosed with cancer," which I'm not going to be diagnosed with cancer, because cancer cannot live in my body, by the way. You should be confessing that kind of stuff. No, I mean, actually I learned that from Mom. But you know what? I changed it. I don't say cancer. I say sickness and disease cannot live. Why want to point out one sickness and disease? No sickness, no disease can live in my body. It's not going to happen. But anyway, the point is, if I went to the doctor and got diagnosed with that, the next day I would show up at healing school and I would tell all the people there, hey, you know, you stand in faith with me. Why? Because these people understand it as much as anybody. They're going through that battle. I mean, does it make me weak to have people believe with me? No, it makes me human. In fact, people who I think that never darken the door of church, when they get diagnosed with something or going through a situation, they're like, hey, I would love your prayers. And I'm like, I don't even know you're a Christian. But you know what? I mean, you know, they understand the power of prayer, the power of agreement. So, you know, it's okay to let people know, especially people who love you. I mean, you know, so many people that they don't want to see you die. You know, you shouldn't go through this alone. That's one reason that we have church, not to forsake the assembling ourselves together, so we can come together and we can believe together and we can act together and we can pray together because we're one body. And for you to act alone, in my opinion, you're not in faith. You're in fear. And you don't even know it. And so tell everyone you know. That's my opinion. I don't care if you like me or not. It doesn't matter. You know, so, you know, sometimes it's not just your faith. It's their faith. The paralytic received his healing because his friends carried him to Jesus. Sometimes, man, you're weak and you don't feel you can get up, but maybe you can have four friends that can carry you, that can be there. So when you feel weak, others can carry you in prayer and in faith. And it's always good. You know, I know that, you know, one of our ministers, Rick Sharkey, he's a prayer warrior. I mean, a couple of times I'm going through situations, I'm like, Rick, this is what I need prayer for. I didn't tell everybody else. It wasn't, you know, for everybody else to know. But I know Rick loves me, and I know he'd pray for me. And I know that he'll text me at 5 in the morning. That's 3 in the morning his time. The guy wakes up, I don't know what time. You know, and he goes, well, I was just praying for you or whatever. You know, it's always good to have somebody like that who loves you, who cares about you, who wants to pray for you. Something else I want you to understand is the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need includes healing. Most people actually think, well, this is a financial scripture. No, it's an all scripture. What do you need? If there's something you need, our God is supplied. But you know what? When it comes to healing, he's already supplied. Actually, he's already supplied all our needs. We just have to take them by faith. It's simple. All our needs have been supplied 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Because some people almost act like that whenever we're using our faith, well, we're trying to wait for Jesus to go get the stripes on his back again, or die on the cross again, or do something. Jesus, just do something. Or come by here, Lord, come by here, whatever, you know, DoorDash my healing to me, do something. But the deal is, he's not going to do anything because your healing is already in your pantry. It already belongs to you. He wants you to take it by faith. Everything that we receive from the Lord is by faith. Whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be grace, whether it be financial blessings, whatever we get, it's all by believing him. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. It's all the same. What do? We say it with our mouth, but we believe in our heart, and we have what we say. But actually, part one of that is we put our faith in God. A lot of people are speaking, but we're not putting our faith in God. Your pastor is not getting your healing for you. Your parents aren't getting your healing for you. God is. And you know, sometimes, let me say this. Now, it is okay and it's good to actually, have other people believe with you. But sometimes the only one not believing for your healing is you. I've seen people, well, I've called every prayer group that I know, and I put myself on every prayer chain, and so they think that everybody else is going to get their healing from them. They're not even believing. They're just sitting there. They're waiting it out. No, you believe. Jesus actually said for you to speak to your mountain. You realize that I do care about your mountain, but you care a whole lot more about your mountain. You care way more about your mountain of sickness, your mountain of debt, or whatever your mountain might be than I do. I mean, I want to see it move for you. But you should care about it. I mean, you should do the speaking. Lastly, before we minister to the sick, Mark 9:23 says this. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I always joke that I preach the Shakespeare gospel. To believe or not to believe, that is the question. In all reality, that's where we're at. Because the Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible. But whatever's true in the positive is also true in the negative. If you can't believe, then nothing is possible. Do you realize that? And that's why you can't be on a seesaw for Jesus in your faith. You either believe or you don't believe. You believe and receive, or don't believe and you don't get it. It's just that simple. The Bible says only believe. I mean, here's the thing. If you had a true false question and the answer was true, why would you think false? I mean, you know, what do? You just want to miss the question? I've never figured this out, you know. You know, going back to the Old Testament, he set before us life and death. Remember that? It was Deuteronomy, I guess. And then the Bible says, choose life. So not only that, they actually tell you which one to choose, and some people don't. What an idiot. But Jesus is probably thinking the same thing. Do you guys realize that 2,000 years ago, I got beat up? I mean, I took the stripes on my back. And you're over there saying, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. Jesus put this on me so I can be a better Christian. No, you're an idiot. All right, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't call people idiots. But I am the guy that wrote the book, Don't Be Stupid, so it's not like I'm, you know. The deal is that Jesus took the stripes for you. You were healed 2,000 years ago. But it's up to you to believe or not to believe, because everything that we get from the Lord is through our faith. So, you know, in conclusion, healing is already yours. Jesus purchased it. James tells us to be joyful, unwavering, and steadfast in faith. Paul says that when you've done all to stand, we stand. Jesus says only believe, and Brother Hagin reminded us to keep the switch of faith turned on. Remember, faith is not a solo walk. Agreement matters. Shared faith matters. And the God who saved you also heals you, because he supplies all your needs. So don't quit. Don't retreat. Stand, speak, believe, and receive what Jesus has already purchased for you. Healing belongs to you today. It's just that simple. Let's all stand up. If you need healing in your body today, I want you to come down here and the ushers will line you up in a single file line. Now, I want you to remember, first of all, that I'm not the healer, that Jesus is the healer. One way he heals is through the laying on of hands. All right? Well, I'm going to lay my hands upon your head. When I do, the power of God is going to go into your body to effect a healing and a cure. From that point on, it's up to you to mix faith with it. How do you do that? Well, what I ask you to do, I ask you, once you get down here and they put you down in line, well, I want you just to close your eyes and I want you to think about two things: Jesus Christ and your healing. When you feel my hand touch your head, I'll say something like, be healed, or in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter. What I say doesn't matter. What you do say does. I want you to say, I take it now in the name of Jesus, or I take my healing now. Just that simple. While they're lining up down here, maybe you happen to be watching online. I'm going to pray with you. There is no distance in the Spirit. So if you happen to be watching online, I want you to reach your hand out toward your TV or toward your device, and I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for these precious people that are watching us online. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that the healing power of God is flowing through these airwaves to affect the healing and a cure in their body right now. And we just thank you in advance, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and we shall see. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. I'm going to say one prayer, then I'm going to go and I'm going to lay hands upon your head. And like I said, it's up to you. You either believe and you receive, or you don't and you don't get it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. As we lay hands upon these precious people, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into their life. And we thank you, Father, right now, that as we lay our hands upon their head, that healing power will flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out that of Satan's rod. And Father God, we thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We're going to start right here with Brother Brian right here, and we're going to go that way. All right? All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there, Brian. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. That's it right there. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. We have some prayer cloths over here. I know we didn't do them earlier because I wanted to do them here at the end. So just reach your hands and your faith out toward these cloths because these represent people. Amen. And praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Enlarged liver and cancer. And then this one's actually one of my friends. They have cancer as well. So Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus as we lay hands upon these cloths. We thank you, Father, as these cloths are laid upon the sick. We thank you, Father, that the healing power of God will flow into their bodies to effect a healing and a cure. Father God, we just thank you right now in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you, Father, for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. I just want to remind you, I mean, some of you might have got healed instantly. Some of you might get healed as you go, but keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep believing. Keep speaking at all times. Well, before we go, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to end this service without giving an opportunity for somebody to make heaven. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that they will lift their hand. If that's you across this auditorium, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to today, I want you to lift your hand right now across this auditorium. Or maybe you're here today, my grandfather has talked about having a no-so experience. There's a hand over there. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Maybe you don't know whether you're saved or not. The only way to be saved is to say it with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If that's you and you don't know whether you've been saved or not, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If that's you. Amen. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I kind of turned my back and I went away and I want to come back and I want to rededicate my life to the Lord this morning. If that's you, you can do that as well. Just lift your hand. Amen. I know we have one hand, so with heads still bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the one person to come down, or if anybody else that should have lifted a hand but you didn't lift your hand, I want you to come down as well. Amen. They're going to sing something. Just come on down. Come on down. Jesus is waiting on you.
And I surrender all. And all to thee.
Balcony. It's a long ways to come down. Just come on down. anyone didn't lift their hand, but they know they should have, just come on down. You don't have to lift your hand to come on down. It's the best thing you'll ever do in your entire life, is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I know it's a long ways, and I know it might, you might think it's embarrassing, but I tell you what, once you get to heaven, you won't be embarrassed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Altar's still open. We want to make sure that everybody knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or if you want to publicly rededicate yourself to God, that's okay as well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What's your name, man?
Joey.
Nice to meet you. I'm Craig. All right. You know, Joey, I like Christmas. What about you? You like Christmas? All right. You know, my parents, I don't know about your parents, but my parents, they would put my presents under the tree when I was a kid. Sometimes we'd shake them or whatever, and it'd always say, you know, to Craig from mom and dad or whatever. But I had to wait till Christmas Day to open up my presents. But, you know, once Christmas Day came and I opened up, it became a reality in my life. Well, today's your Christmas Day. You get to open up your present that belongs to you, and you get to use that present, and that's Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you, Joey, right here, and I'm going to send you to a special place that they're going to pray with you some more. They're going to give you some material from the church and talk to you more about what you came for, all right? Is it okay if I put my hand on your heads, all right? Father God, we thank you for Joey. We thank you for his life. Father, we thank you for forgiving him from his sins. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that Joey's life will never be the same again. That Joey's life will be transformed from this day forward, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you'll use him to be able to do what you called him to do, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. This is Pastor Greg. If you'll just go with Pastor Greg real quickly. Thanks, Joey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. What's that, what it's all about? Bringing people to Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's the number one thing. Now, you know, when you came down here for healing, we always like to know your testimony. And whether you're here, whether you're watching online, you can send us an email, testimony@rhema.org, and let us know. You know, and don't wait 30 years to give me your testimony, because some people have before. You know, one guy gave me a testimony. 30 years ago, you prayed for me. I should be in a wheelchair now, but now I'm healed. I got totally healed 30 years ago when you prayed for me. I said, it took you 30 years to give me your testimony? Don't wait 30 years, all right? Amen. Well, praise God. God's a good God. You ladies who came from Kindle the Flame, I know you enjoyed yourself. I know you had a wonderful time. So, you know, you got your flame rekindled. So go back and share it with your place. Yeah.